Today's shir is for Eschus for Fu Shlema for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shir is Masechta Ksubas Daf Nun Gimel. We will begin on Daf Nun Beis on Beis, three lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Papa Asikle Lebrei. The Papa was marrying off his son Bei Abasura to the daughter of Abasura, who also happens to be Rapapa's father-in-law. So, as we learned before in the Masechta Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, so in other words, Rapapa married off his son to his wife's sister. Azal, so Rapapa went to the father of the Kala's home, Michtalak Suba, that they should write a Ksuba. Shama Yehuda Bamarema. Yehuda Bamarema heard that he was coming. Nafik Asa Ischazlai. So Yehuda Bamarema came out to greet Rapapa, to honor Rapapa. Kimata Lepischa, when they came to the home of Abasura, Kamiftamine. So Yehuda Bamarema wanted to take leave. Amalei, so Rapapa said to him, Neil Mar Bahadoi, come in with me. Come in with me to show honor. Chazia, so Rapapa saw the Loi Havanichale, that Yehuda Bamarema was not anxious to join him. Amalei, so he asked him, Mai Daitach, why don't you want to participate? Said the Gemara, he said to him, is it Bishum da Amalei, Shmuel Rav Yehuda? Because Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana. He called him Shinana. We have a number of Pshatim and Shas. One Pshat is because Shinana means he was a sharp individual. Another Pshat is Shinana, he had sharp teeth. And he said, like, because Shmuel said, taught him, like to have a Bavuri Chsanta, don't participate when Yerusha is being transferred. A field of Rabisha Lebra Tava. Even from a son who's not acting appropriately to a son who's acting appropriately. Because even though it might seem that that's the right thing to do, to make sure that the son that is the one that's acting properly should get a bigger share of the inheritance, it's not appropriate. The Laidina Mazara Nafik Mene, because we can never know who will be the one that will have children that are greater. And even though right now it looks like this son is the tzaddik, and this son is the one that's not acting appropriately, we don't know what is in store further down the line. And certainly, Vikoshkin, he said, Mabrala Barta, don't participate as Yerusha goes from a son to a daughter, as we've discussed, as far as the Torah is concerned, in a situation where there are sons and daughters, the sons get the Yerusha, the daughter do not get the Yerusha. So by you going and asking that the Yerusha should be given to the daughter, it will cause that the father should write a big suba, it will cause that the son will lose out. Hi, Nami. So Rabbi Papa told him, there's no problem. Because Takanta Drabonahi, Chazal taught us, the loy Dama Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shim Ben Yechai. We learned in our previous year that it's appropriate that a parent should give to his daughter a good nadin, because like that, he'll get a wonderful son-in-law, get a wonderful son-in-law for his daughter. So that's why you don't have to worry if he'll write a big suba for his daughter. It's the right thing to do. Our Gemara is teaching us that one should be careful when it comes to Hilchas Yerusha to make sure that the Yerusha should be followed as the Torah prescribes. There are many different discussions about the subject. The Rambam in Hilchas Nachlis, Perek Vav, Halacha Yud Aleph, teaches us, Kol Anoisin Chasu L'Acherim, if somebody gives his estate to others, v'niach yarshim, and he doesn't give it to his children who are his yarshim, al bisha yarshim noigim b'kashura, even she'ena yarshim noigim b'kashura, even though his yarshim aren't acting appropriately, ein ruach hachem noichem hem. the Chazal were not satisfied with such behavior. V'zocha cherim become mashnoslam. Even though he did the wrong thing, it's halachically valid. And so too is the pshak of the Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, Simen Reish Pebeis, Sif Aleph, that one should be given his Yerushit properly. Of course, the halacha is that if one, as the Rambam just said, the halacha is that if it's done in a halachically permissible fashion, which means not that he wrote that that's how the Yerusha should be followed, but the way he wrote the Yerusha was that it should be a matana michayim, that it should be given from lifetime. So even though that is technically acceptable, our Gemara says that that one should not do that because we don't know what the future has in store. However, I did see that the Maram Shik and the Shalos Chuvos Maram Shik Choshen Mishpat Simen Mem Gimel says that if one of the children, Rachman Litzlan, is an apikoris and he's completely left the Jewish way, then it's unlikely that his children will turn back. And there, one could disinherit that son. I did, however, see that the Chabina Rav and the Shalos Chuvos David Misharim Simen Tzadik Zion disagrees. He says our Gemara doesn't make any type of that type of distinction. Ramosha in the Shalos Chuvos Igros Moshe Choshen Mishpat Chelik Beis Simen Nun says that, as he says, certainly if one has more than one son, but the son is careful and he's mam b'Hashem b'taroso, he believes in Hashem. O machanech es bon of lechus b'taros Hashem o lemishmas mitzvosav, and he makes sure that he sends his children to learn Torah, even if he's not the person that's acting as he really ought to be, or as properly as his brothers, one should not take away the Yerusha from him. However, he says, if somebody has a son, Rav Moshe says, who's mumma l'chal Shabbos b'faresya, his mechal Shabbos publicly violates the Suri Torah and doesn't send his children to the yeshiva, even though he says that it is possible that from such a child they're going to be children who are bali tshuva, he says it's unlikely, and since it's unlikely, there, the concern that the Gemara doesn't apply. And Ramosha says that you could, if the parent feels that he wants to disinherit him, he has a right to do so. There are a number of psukim in the Torah that teach us this same concept. The Berimaim Chaim says that the pasuk, when it describes loving, says, Achi Rivka, Eim Yaakov Esav. That's how the Pasuk describes Lavan when Yaakov Avinu meets him. And Rashi says, Eini Yodea Mamalam Deinu. Rashi says, I don't know what the Pasuk is here to teach us with the words, Eim Yaakov Esav. We all know that Rivka was the mother of Yaakov and Esav. So he says that Pshat is like this, that Yaakov and Esav were from the same mother. Unlike Yishmael and Yitzchak, who did not, although they had the same mother, the same father, Avraham Avinu, they did not have the same mother. So he says what the Pasuk is trying to teach us is that since Yishmael did not come from Sarah, he came from Hagar, who was a Pelegesh. Therefore, Avraham Avinu was not obligated to give him an equal share in the Yerusha with Yitzchak. However, when we speak about Yaakov and Esav, they came from the same mother and from the same father. And therefore, since they came from the same parents, the Pasuk is teaching us, then the halacha is that they have to get the Yerusha equally. As our Gemara says, that even though Esav was Esav and Yaakov, the halacha is that they deserve Yerusha together. The Pasuk says, when Sarah was speaking to Avram Avinu about Yishmael, and the Pasuk says, V'yer hadav ma'oyer be'en Avram al oydus b'noi. Avram Avinu was very unhappy about his son. V'yer ma'ashem al Avram. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, al yer b'nech al anar, don't be upset v'al ha'masecha, kol ha'shatayma alecha Sarah shema b'koyla. And Rashi says, shema b'koyla, b'kol nevuasa, except the nevuah of Sarimenu. And Rashi and Chazal teach us that Sarimenu was even greater than Avram Avinu in Nevuah. And of course, the question that the Chasam Sofer asks, what is the fact that Sarah is a great Nevuah have to do with this in situation? The Parashah just told us, V'yera Adava Bein Avram. Avram was upset about his son of behavior. So, explains the Chasam Sofer, very much connected to the halacha that we just quoted. What Sarah Menu was telling Avram is that he should not give a Yerusha to Yishmael. And Avram Avinu was upset because we just learned that one should never transfer the Yerusha from one son to another son, even if the other son is acting inappropriately. Why? Because the Gemara said, we don't know who will emanate from the son who's not acting properly. But says the Chasam Sofer, Rashi teaches us that Sarah was a Nevi'ah, and Sarah was able to tell Avram Avinu, I see that no one who will act properly is going to emanate from Yishmael. So when you're taking away the Yerusha from Yishmael, and now you're concerned that maybe there's going to be somebody wonderful coming out, don't think so, because if Sarah, who's great in the Vias, says that, the answer is that they will be, the answer is that that must be the case, and you have a right to take and give all the Yerusha to Yitzchak. The Bnei Yisaschar quotes a Medrash. The Pasuk says, V'hayu k'yomer aleichem b'neichem ma avoyda azoyis lachem, says the Medrash, P'sur etayv v'nismasru, the Klai Yisrael got wonderful news. That they will have children and grandchildren. And the Bnei Soscha asks that we know that whatever the Pasuk says, V'hoya, is a Lashon Simcha. It represents good news. So ask the Bnei Soscha, this Pasuk of V'hoya Yoimru Aleichem B'neichem Ma'avoida is the Pasuk which we say in the Haggadah by the Seder, is the Pasuk that the Rosha, that's the Rosh's declaration. So how could that be considered good news? How do we say v'hoya that it's good news that you're going to have a son that is going to be a Rosh? The answer is, because even if Chas v'Shalom, somebody has a son, a Rosh, but like our Gemara says, that son, from that son, Mishum Mefik Mnei Zara Me'alya. So says the Bnei Soscha, that was the good news that they were told. They were told you're going to have children. And even though those children will not be Rishon, that isn't yet a reason to be upset. Because as our Gemara says, even to have children that aren't so great, that those children can have children and future generations who are big tzaddikim. Drama in Chayshe Mishpat, two places, Simen Reishnum Beis and Simen Reish Pei Beis, says if somebody left a tzava, and in the tzava it says, I want the best to be done with the money I'm leaving over. Says Drama, the best thing that can be done with someone's money is to use it, to give it in the way the Torah prescribes that a Yerusha should be given. If the Torah says that that's the way a Yerusha should be divided, that must be the best way to dispose of the money. Because when the Torah tells us to do so, that's the best way. So, back to our Gemara. Even though, as we just learned, we have to follow Hilchos Yerusha, but Rav Papa said, a father giving to his daughter that she should have to be able to get married is also what the Torah, what Chazal want. Amalei, so that's what Papa told you, the Marema, don't feel bad staying here, even though that may create pressure that they're going to give what they wouldn't have wanted to give. Amalei, so Yehuda Marema said to Papa, Hani Milam Medate, if the girl's father willingly gives this amount, fantastic. Alasuyib Nami, but is forcing him to give something he doesn't want to give appropriate. Amalei, so Papa said to Yehuda ben Rema, Otami kaminnalach d'ova asye, did I ever suggest that you should participate in forcing him to give what he doesn't want to give? Ul v'loitasye kamina, I just asked you to participate, come with me. I never asked you to force somebody to give something he doesn't want to give. Amalei, so Yehuda ben Rema said to Papa, ma'aloi didi, if I'm just sitting there, that will create pressure. Achve, so Rapapa forced Yehuda ben Rema, v'ol, and he came with him. Ishtik v'yosef, and Yehuda ben Rema just sat there and didn't say a word. Sover, so Abbasra thought the reason he's not saying anything is iu mirsach rosach. It must be because he's upset. So because he felt that pressure, he wrote his entire fortune to the Nadunya for his daughter. L'soif Amalei, at the end, he turns around and Abbasra says to Yehuda ben Rema, Hashtu nami lo mishtoy mar, now you're not saying any, you're still not saying anything? And he said to him, Chai demar, I could swear, L'shvika midala nafshoy, I didn't leave anything for myself. So why would you be upset? I was more than generous. So the Achronim ask that the Gemara says, we learned in Daf Nun, that the proper amount that one should give for Nadunya for his daughter is 10%. The question is, how did he give more? And the answer, obviously, Abbas Surah did not know that halacha, or he said, he thought that under the proper circumstances, you have to give more. Says the Gemara, so Rabbi Sura says to Yudim Araima, Chai Dama, I could swear, L'shafka midi l'nafshi. I didn't leave over anything for myself. Why are you upset at me? Amalei, so Yudim Araima said to him, Imenoi the day, if you would have asked me, I feel a high nami de ksafta, the amount that you wrote, l'nichle. You shouldn't have written that much. You were overly generous. Amalei, hashta nami kahadabei. So he asked him, should I be able to reverse myself? Amalei, shavya nafsha chadrona loikamina. Even though if had you asked me, I wouldn't have recommended that you give this much, once you gave it, you're not allowed to go back. And Taisa says that even though we're going to be learning in the Gemara on Daf Kuf Beis, that if the Aviya Chosin and Aviya Kala, the father of the Chosin and the father Kala, are sitting and they have a conversation, Kama Atanois Labincha, how much will you be giving to your son? And he says, Kach for Kach. The Kama Atanois Labitcha, and then he asks the girl's father, how much will you be giving? And he says, Kach for Kach. And they go and they make Kedushin Konam. And the Gemara says that even though throughout Shas we know that to be considered a valid halachic transaction, we have to have a kinyan, we have to have an act of kinyan. The Gemara says, Hein Hein Dvaram Niknum B'Mira, that this agreement that the two sides have is considered a full-fledged kinyan. So the question is, how does our Gemara suggest that he could have reversed himself? You can't reverse himself. These are what we just learned. Nikna b'amira. So Taisus answers that halacha that we just said, that the kinyan is considered a valid kinyan just by mira, is only in a case where they had kedushin right on the spot. But if there isn't going to happen kedushin on the spot, that's not a case of nikna b'amira. And says Taisus, here there was no kedushin on the spot. And since there was no kedushin on the spot, that's why technically he could be chayzer. Another pshat that Dafla asks, that even though there was no kedushin, but they committed this understanding to writing. And ask that flaw that once something is committed to writing, you can't retract. So how could they retract? So says that flaw, what must have happened here was that they didn't transfer, give over the shtar. And once, till the shtar is actually given over, they can't go back. And I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Chemed has an interesting discussion. He says, somebody was asked to give tzedakah, and he was under the understanding that the person to whom he was giving the tzedakah was a great Talmid Chacham, a great individual from the Gedolei Hador. And then it turns out that the person wasn't that person, the person who he thought he was giving tzedakah to. The question is, can he go back? Can he retract, or can he not retract? And this is a very complicated question. The reason it's a complicated question is because on one hand, we know, in halacha we often discuss it, there's a concept of a mekach tos. If something was done on the wrong understanding, the deal is not a deal. But on the other hand, when we speak about tzedakah, hilchot tzedakah are much more stricter than all other hilchos nedarim. There are opinions that say that if one just made up in his mind that he's going to be giving a certain donation, even though throughout halacha, dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, and a mental commitment, is, if it wasn't verbalized, is not considered a commitment. When it comes to tzedakah, the halacha is that it is considered perhaps a commitment. And therefore, even though we have a clear umdana, we have a clear understanding that this person only promised to give this money to tzedakah based on an assumption which turned out to be incorrect, the Chashukei Chemed says, since we're speaking about hilchot tzedakah, you can't retract. Says the Gemara. Begins the Gemara with a question. If somebody sold her ksuba to her husband, we have been learning that a husband has to write a ksuba to his wife, but a wife could sell the ksuba to the husband. Again, it's a gamble, because if she dies first, then the ksuba is worthless, because then she doesn't collect the ksuba. If he dies first and she sells it for less than it's worth, then she lost out. So that's a wife sold her husband to the ksuba. But we've been learning that in every ksuba is included the ksuba spinandikrin. The question is, what happens when the ksuba was sold? Is that included or not? So the Rishonim ask that the Gemara we're going to learn in Daf Nun Zayin teaches us, Oslo la Adam, Shiyishas Ishtoi, a man may not remain with his wife, a filu sho achas beloi ksuba, without a ksuba. So how could a wife possibly have sold her ksuba? Now she doesn't have a ksuba, and a husband and wife may not remain together without a ksuba. So the Rishonim respond, she did the wrong thing. Or another pshat that they say is that he died immediately afterwards. And she sold his ksuba. And the Gemara's question is, what happens to the ksubas benin dikrin? And the question here is the ksubas benin dikrin considered part of the ksuba? And when the ksuba is collected, when the ksuba is to be collected, the ksubas benin dikrin are a clause, or the ksuba spin the dikrin clause is separate from the ksuba, and therefore, even though she sold the ksuba, that doesn't affect that clause. Amalei Rava. So Rava said, instead of asking the question when she sold the ksuba, why don't you ask the question, b'tibayi b'mechelis? If a woman forgave her husband the obligation on the ksuba, what will the halacha be then? Says the Gemara, Amalei, so Rav Yemir Sabar, hashta mecheris, coming by late, in a case where she sold the ksuba, davka dikla meimer, that in that situation, I could suggest, why did the woman sell a ksuba? Kazuzi and Tsua. She was forced, she had need for money, and that forced her to sell a ksuba. Kamina, Kim the Machla Mea Uchla, the hitting somebody with 100 sticks, the halacha is, I'm trying to figure out maybe the ksubas bin Andikrin is included in the sale, and they have no longer a right to make that claim. Mechelis, where she gave it up, where she wasn't forced to do it, certainly, if the halacha will be that the ksubas bin Andikrin clause is forgiven when she sold the ksuba, it's certainly forgiven when she forgives the ksuba. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Pshitali, to me it's obvious, Meches ksubas l'acherim, if she sold the ksuba, but she didn't sell the ksuba to her husband, she sold the ksuba to someone else, and the person who's buying this note is obviously taking a risk. And he's saying, if the wife dies first, I will have nothing to collect. If the husband dies first, I'll be able to collect the ksuba. In that case, yesh the ksubas b'nei dichrin. In that case, the ksubas b'nei dichrin is not included, because her children should not be affected by that. My tama, because like we just said, Zuzi and Sue, she needed money, but shouldn't affect her children. On the other hand, Michel's ksubas labala, if a woman gives up the right to ksuba to her husband, in that case, certainly, ain't like ksubas b'nei dichrin. The children are not entitled to ksubas b'nei dichrin. My tama, because certainly, achula echilta, she gave up rights to the entire ksuba. By Rava, Rava says, what's going to be the halacha becheres ksubas labala? When she sold it, but she sold it not to outsiders, she sold it to her husband. Do we treat it to mecheres lacherim? And the Gemara just said that when she's mecheres lacherim, the ksubas b'nei dichrin clause remains in effect. And we just said when she's meichla to her husband, it is forgiven. Says the Gemara, Bas the Baya had the pashtop. He answered the question himself. Mecheres ksubas labala, ke mecheres lacherim dami, and the ksubas b'nei dichrin clause is still in effect. Masa Rav Idi, to ask Rav Idi Bar Ovin, that we just said when she sold the ksuba to other people, the clause of the b'nei dichrin still is in effect. That we're going to learn the Mishnah we taught in Masechta Yevamos that pays Zayin on a base where a woman's husband went off to Medina Sayam, and an eid echad came and said her husband passed away, and she got married, and then her husband shows up. We learned Alochas Teitze Mizeh Mizeh. She can't go back to the first husband, nor may she remain with the second husband. And we learned further in that Mishnah, En Yashim Shalzeh Ve Yashim Shalzeh, the children from these men don't get her ksuba. Vavinaba, ksuba samai avidita. What does that mean? Vamra Papa, the ksubas b'nei dichrin, that when she dies, there's no ksubas b'nei dichrin. So we see that they're not entitled to ksubas b'nei dichrin. Vamai, why should we say that the children lose out the ksubas b'nei dichrin? If our Gemara asks, the Gemara taught us that when somebody did something under duress, that should not affect the children. Here too, the reason she married this man whom she should not have married because her husband was still alive, we should say Neimalema Yetzer answer. She was anxious to get married. And that should not affect the children, says the Gemara. Hasam Knasu the Kansura Bonin. You're right. She did it because she was under pressure. But the reason the children don't get the ksubas b'nei dichrin there is for a different reason. It's a knas de rabbanon. Yosef Rabbi Mechanina kamed Rav Chizda v'Yosef Kama Mishum Meid Reb Elozer Mechelas ksubas labala. If a woman is meichel a ksuba to her husband, ein la mezaynus. She, the halacha is, we learned that one of the clauses of the ksuba is that if the husband dies, as long as she's not remarried, she could choose to remain in her husband's home, and the Yorshim have to support her. Says the Gemara, in a case where she was Meichel Ksuba, that clause is forgiven. Amalei, so Rav Chizda said to Rabbi Mechanina, Ilav the Kamarantli Mishmei the Gavar Rabba. If not that you said over this halacha and the name of Rabbi Elazar, who was a great individual, have a min aloch, I would say that this is incorrect. Because the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Meshiv ra takas toiva, if somebody pays back good with bad, like Tomash Rami Beisai, will be affected with bad his entire life. And he says, let's think about this situation. This woman was Meichel Haksuba to her husband. So she did something very nice to her husband. So now she should suffer and not be supported when her husband dies. Yosrav Nachvul of Avim Barapapi, Yosrav Chiv Baramigabayu. Also, Gover the Shchiva Rusasa. A man whose Arusa passed away came. Amalei. And he said, the question was, since they were only married with a Erisin, and in the Tanaik Suba is that a husband has to bury his wife. So the question is, do I have to pay for her burial cost? Well, since we never had Nesuin, I do not have to pay for those burial costs. So they told him, Zilkvar, either pay for the Levaya or have the Ksuba pay her estate the Ksuba. Amalei Rav Chia. So Rav Chia said to Nina, I learned differently. I learned, the Mishnah, the Braisa teaches us, Ishtar Rusa, if somebody's wife is an Arusa, the Loch is Loi Oinen, we know that one of the close relatives pass away until the Kvura, one is an Oinen, he's not Mechuyev B'mitzvahs, Loi Metamela, the Loch is that he doesn't become Tamei, became he, Loi, that means if he's a Kohen, and normally a Kohen doesn't become Tamei, except by one of the close relatives, if it's a wife who is only an Arusa, he doesn't become Tamei. He loy anenis v'loy metamelo. She is not an oinen when he passes away. She's not obligated to become Tamei. Mesa, if she dies in a yarsha, even though normally a husband inherits his wife, here since they only had a rusin, that halacha isn't there. Mesa, who, if he died, goyve ksubasa. Then she has a right to collect the ksuba. Well, what does it say here? Tama de mesa, who? Because he died, that's why she has a right to collect the ksuba. Hamesahi, if she passed away, ain't lo ksuba. She is not entitled to the ksuba, and he's not obligated to bury her. So he was asking, why are you saying that he has to bury her? Says the Gemara, my tama, why is the halacha that if she dies, he doesn't have to bury her? Amrav Aisha, Shene Karimba, because let's look at the wording of the ksuba. In the ksuba it says, L'chishitinosil achar, when titli mashikosilchi, when you can marry someone else, then you could get your ksuba. But here, that he didn't die, nor divorce her, she died. She was the one that died. She's not entitled to the ksuba. And therefore, says the Gemara, Ki'asa Ravan, Amrei Shlokish Arusa Shemesa, an Arusa that passes away, and like Ksuba is not entitled to Ksuba. Amrei Abayu, Zilu Amrei Shkula Tavnafsech, to go tell them, take your, what you just said. You think that you said something good, and we should appreciate the halacha that you just taught us. Take what you just said, V'shada Chesri, and throw it on the thorns. Kvat Tigmar of Oisha L'shmatzei, but Bavel, he already taught us in Bavel that the Arusa, you didn't say anything new, the Arusa already said the Arusa doesn't get a ksuba. So our Gemara just taught us that an Arusa, if her husband dies, she doesn't have to become Loima Tamala. She should not become Tamei. And it's a difficult statement to understand, because although if the Halacha, if he is a Kohen, which we, as we discussed when we learned the Gemara, a Kohen is not allowed to become Tamei, only by one of the close relatives. And the question is the wife who's an Arusa, is she a relative for him to become Tamei? But if she is the wife of a Kohen, and even if she's the daughter of a Kohen, there is no issa for the wife of a Kohen or the daughter of a Kohen to become Tamei. So the question asks Rashi, is what is the Braisa after? What is the Braisa teaching us when it says Loi Metamala? Why should she not become Tamei? She is allowed to become Tamei. So Rashi says that what it means to teach us is she's not obligated to become Tamei. In other words, when the halacha is that you have a relative that a kohen is allowed to become Tamei,
The halacha doesn't just say that the kohen is allowed to become tamei. The halacha actually teaches us that the kohen is obligated to become tamei. And when you're not allowed to become tamei, the halacha is teaching us that you're not allowed to become tamei. Whereas here, the halacha is that she's not obligated to become tamei, but of course, if she wants to become tamei, she has every, what the Gemara is saying is, she can become tamei, she doesn't have to become tamei. But Rashi, in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis, actually gives a different pshat. The halacha is that one is supposed to go to the mikveh before Yontif, because one, Chayiv Od Notar Atzmei Beregel, says Rashi, that somebody becoming tamei Yontif, you're not allowed to become tamei in Yontif unless the Torah teaches us that you're supposed to become tamei. And what the Gemara is teaching us here is that an arusa, since the entire marriage between her and her husband was only the marriage of an erusin, the halacha is that she is not only not obligated to become tamei, she's not allowed to become tamei because one is not allowed to become tamei in Yontif unless they are supposed to become tamei in Yontif. It's interesting. This halach of chayv adam l'tar atzmai beregel, once you become tar before yontif, is not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. And the Behetiv gives two reasons. Number one, he says, is that the reason one is supposed to become tar on yontif is in order to be able to eat kabbonis, and one can only eat kabbonis when he's tar. Bizman hazeh, we don't have kabbonis, that's why this halacha doesn't apply. Second reason, explains the Behetiv, is because one really can't become completely tar b'zman hazeh. Because in order to become completely tar, we have to go through the parah adumah procedure, which of course we don't have. However, says the Behetiv, that even though we have all these reasons, the appropriate thing to do is to go to the mikveh before yontif, to be matar yourself as much as possible. And Darach HaShulchan says that that halach doesn't only apply to yontif, it applies to Shabbos as well. A person should try to go to the mikveh before. A person should try to go to the mikveh before Shabbos. Again, to come into Shabbos with as much tahara as possible. We learned in the Mishnah that, as we just said, that one of the Tanaik Suba are benon nukvin the havel chaminoi. Any daughters that you will have from me will be supported until they get married, and that also one of the Tanai Bezdin. Rav Tani, but there's a machloikis, what is the proper wording of the ksuba? Rav Tani added to Luchan Lagavri, until they get married, my estate will support them. The Levi Tani added to Bagrin, until they become Bigeris, will my estate support them. Lurav, that means according to Rav, Avagav the Bogger, even though these girls became Bigeris, the halacha is that the estate supports them. And the Levi, according to Levi, Avgav the Insif, doesn't mean to say that even if they get married, but they're not Boigris, the estate has to support them. Ella, says the Gemara, Bogger v'lay Insif, if the girl became Bigeris and not married, or Insif v'lay Bogger, she got married and she's not a Bigeris, the Kula Amaloy Pligi, everybody will agree that the state does not have to support her. Key pligi, the question is in a situation when she's a rusa, v'loy bogar. She became an arusa, but she's not a begaris. According to Rav, once she becomes an arusa, she loses her mezainus. And the question is, why is that the case? She's only an arusa, and she's not married. So why should the estate not have to take care of her? So the Rishonim all explain that the reason is that even though her relationship with her husband is only in a relationship of an arusa, no husband is going to want to let his wife, who albeit is only an arusa, not have any mean of support. And therefore, he'll take care of her. That's Rav's opinion. Ella Bogval Insif, or Insif, she had this. She was an arusa v'lay bogar. V'chein tani Levi mesnisan ad tegri. The Levi's held. So Rav held once she's an arusa, the state doesn't have to support her. And Levi taught ad tabagrin. You have to become begaris v'yavizim ensabin, or you have nesuin. Ask the Gemara, why do you have to have both?
The wording seems to be that she's begaris and had nesuin. Ella, what Levi meant to say, watch, oi to the bagrin, either you become begaris, and at that point the state doesn't have to support you, oi to yamta zimnul and sava, or when the nesuin comes and then the state doesn't have to support her. Ketanai, so Gemara wants to suggest that this machloikus of Rav and Levi is actually a machloikus tanoim. Because the Brisa says, Amasei Abbas Nazonis, how long are the daughters supported from the state? Achita Aris, Mishim Rabbi Lezer, Amru, Achita Bogar. Rav holds like the Tanakama, that as soon as Erisin comes, she no longer is entitled to Mazonis, and Levi holds that either by Geris or getting married. Tana Rabbi Yosef, Adda Havin Legovrin, the Brisa says until they get married, Ibailu, what does that Brisa mean? That Rabbi Yosef taught it. Does it mean Erisin or Havai the Nesuin, which we've been learning the Machloikus Rav and Levi? And the Gemara says that it remains Teiku, it remains a Tzafik. Amalei Rav Chizkel Rav Yosef. Mishmin Lach Mneid Rav Yehuda. Did you hear from Yehuda? He asked him, Arusa. This girl who's an Arusa and is being supported from her father's estate. Yesh Lamezoinus, Oyelam Mezoinus, isn't she titled to support? And as Tosfos, the very Maskil Arusa says, even though the Gemara just said that this is a Machloikus Tanoim, Rav Chisda wasn't aware of this Machloikus Tanoim, or maybe he was aware of the Machloikus Tanoim, but he wanted to know who do we follow, who do we pass on. So again, Mishmina Lach Menedra of Yehuda, Arusa, Yeshla Mezaris, Oren Mezaris, Amalei, Mashmala Shmilei, I never heard explicitly what the Halach is, El Misvara, logically, I would say, Lasla, that she's not entitled. Why? As we explained, Kivin de Ursa, once she's an Arusa, Leinicha Le de Tetzel, she doesn't want, her Arus doesn't want that she should be left without a mean of support, and therefore, he'll take care of her, and the state doesn't have to. Amle, in Mishma, Le Shmilach, if everything you're saying is not based on something that you actually heard is Dalacha, only saying it based on a svara, misvara isla. If we're going to say, if we're going to pass on the shayla based on logic, on the contrary, I could say, kivan delay kimla begava, since he's not sure until he marries her, he's not sure if he should marry her, he's not sure if she doesn't have a mum, a person, l'shazir mirdi b'gdi. The halacha is that a person doesn't give his money away for nothing, and until he doesn't know for sure that his wife is not a Baal's mum, he's not sure that he should support her, and he's not going to support her. I didn't hear from Rabbi Yehuda what is the halacha. However, Misvara is like Kima, the Kimla begava, that she is going to be supported from the father's estate with the reason that we just said. Kivin, the Kimla begava. Since the husband is not sure that this marriage will truly be consummated, he doesn't give him a zaynus. If you didn't hear it explicitly, the estate doesn't have to support. Because again, once he was ma'arisa, he doesn't want to leave it without a mean of support. Simon, the Gavri Sak Zorof Mana Vivama Shnia Arusa Vanusa. Boy, my name is Rav Sheshes. Asked the Gemara Menes, a Ktana who was married off by her mother and her brothers, which we often discuss in our Shurim, does not that her Kedushin are only Kedusha de Rabbanan. The question is, Yesh la Mezaynus, such a girl, is she entitled to Mezaynus, Ein la Mezaynus? Amalei Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes Atinasua, as long as the Almana went back home, Grusha Besavia, that means she was only an Almana from Erisin, or the same thing, Grusha Besavia, Shemeris Yavam Besavia, Yeshla Mezoinus, her father supports her. Yudaima, Adeb Besavia, if she's still at home, Yeshla Mezoinus from her father. Enem Besavia, Elen Mezoinus. So ask the Gemara of Yehuda, Hanatanakama, don't they both say the same thing? That as long as she's father's home, that father's estate supports her. Once she leaves the father's home, she doesn't. Isn't Ella? So why is there machloikus? Says the Gemara, Mamanasik Menayu. Tanakama sova isla. The Tanakama holds that just like an almono gets mezoinus, here to a menes gets mezoinus because she's not considered married. By doing the miyun, the marriage is annulled. Yudasova leslai. Since she had nesuin, even though she annulled those nesuin, the halacha is she's no longer entitled to mezoinus.